ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, and its host and founder is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is a tireless champion in the battle against ageism. On today's program, Carol will be talking with Thomas Moore, who has written a book titled Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy. We'll be joined by Meg McDonald, and she's going to tell us about her new smartphone. Let's kick it off now with Carol Marx in conversation with author Linda Schrager. She's a registered National Board Certified Occupational Therapist, a master's level social worker, and a certified aging in place specialist with more than 37 years experience in the field of geriatrics and more than 13 years working with seniors in their homes. Her book is titled Age in Place, A Guide to Modifying, Organizing, and Decluttering Mom and Dad's Home, published by Bull Publishing.
Now, what happened in your life when you found you and your daughter both diagnosed with really life-threatening medical conditions, and then later on your mother was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer that made you realize how important it was to be well-organized through these most challenging of times? So what happened?
You know, that's exactly what did happen. I was, my daughter was diagnosed in the morning of a day in July with Crohn's disease, and that afternoon I found out I had breast cancer. And the only way for me to deal with all of that was to organize everything, because I realized they were throwing everything at us, all of the medical tests, the follow-up appointments, the medications, and I was a very organized person by history, and so that has always helped me to sort of stay focused and to channel my energies into something that I could control. So I made up a notebook and kept all of our medical information in it, and I just sort of helped navigate all three of us through our illnesses, and that was my way of just, as I said, staying in control of the situation and being able to handle it all.
So it happened then, and I think it's a wonderful thing, that you realized after being organized helped you so much with your medical condition and your daughter's medical condition and your mother's extreme illness, that you could turn these skills into helping really the 90% of the people who are over 65 and want to stay in their own homes for the remaining years, but really they don't see perhaps what other family members and friends are seeing, and that maybe their ability to keep up their house and provide the personal care they need is declining. So I think that's a very helpful transition that you were able to make.
Well, yes, that's true, and that is usually the advice that I give to these families who often come to me in some type of a state of crisis because their parent has taken a fall or has a new diagnosis, and all of a sudden it occurs to everybody that they live in this big house, the bathroom and the bedroom are upstairs, and there's no help, and what are we going to do with mom and dad? So my first recommendation to everyone is to call a family meeting, get together, and try to make a plan, get organized, and talk about the situation. And what I suggest to everybody is to consider having this family meeting, or the conversation, as I call it, well before a crisis occurs. Because it's too late at that point. But if you can get together before this fall has happened, before all hell breaks loose, and calmly sit down and go over the situation, talk to mom and dad about what their hopes are. Do they want to stay home? Do they want to remain independent in their own home? And if so, what can we do to help them get there? So organize the team and organize the plan before the crisis occurs.
And, you know, it just makes so much sense. And Okay, but, you know, in a lot of cases, that doesn't happen. Somebody does fall or they have a medical crisis. So before we talk about some of these safety issues that we have, that we may have to go through if we're in crisis, let's talk about some of the psychological and financial benefits for aging in place, because I think they're important.
Well, first of all, financially, that is a good question. And, you know, assisted living facilities these days are very, very expensive. They're in the range of about $45,000 to $70,000. And long-term care and nursing home care, it can be over $100,000 a year. So financially, if you can keep mom and dad at home, that's terrific, because you can even get private help, and I often suggest that. This, you know, I say in the book, it takes a village. It's not as easy as just saying, Mom, we're going to put up a grab bar, and now you're fine, you're going to stay home. You need to have a team of caregivers in place. Often you need to hire some private home care agency aides or private home health aides, and they, of course, cost money. But when you figure out the monetary difference between that and a facility, the facility is most often more expensive. So that's the first thing.
And it's so
and
important.
Psychologically.
Yeah. Yeah, psychologically,
people,
too.
Yes, because you know what? People have a community, and they want to stay in their community. And they have grown to make memories in their home, and they have family, and they have friends around them. And, of course, psychologically, most people would want to stay in this situation versus needing to go to some type of an institutional setting.
Now, what I think is so helpful about your book, Linda, is that you recommend that we really go into our loved one's house, both inside and outside, and find out how they're doing with the activities in this, you know, in their home. And so my first question is, what did you mean when you write that if you're looking at how your parents are functioning, you should see if the furniture surf when moving around. Now, what their house, what in the world is furniture surfing?
I'm sorry, just can you repeat that last sentence again?
Okay.
I didn't quite hear you.
What in the world is furniture surfing that we might observe our parents are doing?
Okay. Well, you know what? That's a classic occupational therapy term. And what happens is, once I explain it, you'll know exactly what I mean. So mom is sitting on the couch. She gets up, and she takes a few steps, and now she grabs the back of the couch to balance herself. And starts walking across the living room and grabs on to the coffee table, which is there, and then kind of veers off and touches the back of the lanai or whatever piece of equipment is there, whatever furniture is there. She might graze across the piano, and she works her way that way throughout the house. So people tend to literally balance themselves by grabbing onto furniture. Now, the thing is that actually works. It's not crazy, because sometimes if the furniture's set up in the right place, and, of course, this is probably they should have a walker, but either they don't want to use their walker or they leave it somewhere, grabbing onto the furniture isn't a bad thing if it's good, sturdy furniture. So that's what we call furniture surfing or furniture walking. And many people adapt to that because their balance is not great, and they don't even realize they're doing it, but that's how they hold on and prevent a fall.
Now, talking about the general living areas of our house, you write that one of the things that we often overlook is the furniture that's there, because as many of us get older and we've got arthritis and both our hips and knees, it's really hard to get off that chair or couch. They're too low. Are there any simple modifications that we can do?
Yes, there are, and you're absolutely right. Many of us have our favorite piece of furniture. The same couch has been in the house for 20 years. And beside the fact that it's often low, often the cushions just become soft and mushy because we've all been sitting on them for 20 years. So there are some simple things that you can do. One of them is simply to go to a place such as Bed Bath & Beyond and buy furniture risers. You've probably heard of this maybe with the kids in college. They buy them to put under their bed to raise the bed up. There are furniture risers made for a couch or a chair. They give you about a 4-inch rise. They're nice, actually. They come in wood, or you can get them in different materials. And they have a little divot in them so that the leg of the piece of furniture fits in each one. So, for example, if there's 6 legs of the couch, you buy 6 risers. Now, the problem is that really, though, only will work for a piece of furniture that has a leg. If there's no leg, another way to do it is just to take a cushion and put it simply under the cushion where mom sits so that you raise up the whole thing. The idea is that the higher something is, the easier it is to get off of. So the lower it is, it's hard to get to raise yourself up. But if the piece of furniture is raised up, the whole piece or just the cushion itself, it will then be easier for your parent to just get up off the couch and walk away.
And I think what I also didn't realize was some of the things we need to look at when it comes to the exterior of our home, our sidewalks and driveways and things like that. And I never realized that you really, you know, need to look out for your driveway if it's been seal-coated. So why do they need to be seal-coated, and what can the problem be with it when they're done?
Well, you know, well, in our neighborhood, certainly, right around this time of year, actually, spring, if we ever do get spring, all those people come around and they start putting flyers in your mailbox that say it's time to seal your driveway. And over time, people's driveways can get sort of, you know, chunky. They get cracks in them. They start to get a little bit bumpy. And so they all want to come in and just put a sealant over it. But what happens is that sealant, which looks very nice and fresh and new, makes the driveway very slippery. And it makes it even more slippery if there's rain. And I literally, it's just an incredible story, but I had a patient, and I was called to his home because he had broken his hip because he went down his driveway to get his mail, and he fell on the newly sealed driveway and broke his hip. And 2 years later, almost to the day, I get a referral for another person, same house, the wife, and they had done the driveway again, and sure enough, didn't she go down and break the other hip? So it actually really does happen. And so I just recommend to people that if you have this done, be very, very careful for a few weeks until it gets roughed up again on the driveway. And the same with the sidewalk.
You also have great suggestions for making our bedrooms and kitchens and bathrooms safer with gadgets that are easy to use. And I just love tip on dealing with a slippery bar of soap, because what happens to me is I always drop it. And it is painful and awkward to try to revive it. And your tip involves using a lady's pantyhose. So what is it?
Well, Carol, I'm glad that you noticed that tip, because I have to tell you, in all of the book, that's my favorite one. And it's very simple. You take an old, well, it doesn't have to be old, it can be new, but a pair of ladies' stockings, and you cut off one of the legs, and you throw a bar of soap in there so that it'll often just fall down near where the feet are, and you tie a knot at the top, and then you take, so now you have this long leg, stocking leg, with soap in it, and you tie that around any bar, if you have a grab bar in the shower or around the faucet or wherever, so that it won't fall down, and then you can just hold on to that soap and soap yourself up through the stocking, because when it gets wet, the soap will come right through the stocking, and you soap up, and then when you're finished, you just drop it, but it's still tied on to wherever you tied it, and there it is, and you won't drop your soap anymore.
I love it, and I'm using that tip. And another tip I liked a lot is, you know, you get out of the bathtub or you get out of the shower and you get on your bath mat, which you bought, I don't know how many, but anyway, it matches your towels and your decorations in your bathroom. And, you know, I guess they can get worn out. And then if they get worn out, they can cause you to have an accident. So how do you find out if that old bathroom mat that you just love when you get out of the shower is still good?
Well, that's a very good question. And, of course, we all love our old bath mat, but here's the problem. The rubber on the bottom, I will almost guarantee you, has worn off. So what I do is what I've called the Schrager twist test. I stand on the mat with both feet, and I just do as if you were doing the dance, the twist. And I try to twist my feet back and forth as I pivot on that mat. And if that mat moves under me, that means that that mat is no good anymore. And I will tell the person, throw this away, go to the store, buy yourself a fresh new one in any color you want, but make sure that the rubber backing is there. Nowadays, they often have right on the label, it says slip resistant. And just feel for the back and make sure it's got rubber on the bottom. And then you can have any bath mat you want.
You have a lot of very helpful pictures in your book of gadgets and different things that we can that are new that we can put in our home that will make our life easier and safer. And I was amazed at the amount of new faucets and showers and all the new gadgets that are out there.
Well, there are, and you know, the most important probably thing that you can do is to put a grab bar in the bathroom. That is my number one thing when I walk into someone's home. And these days, the grab bars don't have to look institutional. There are many companies that make beautiful grab bars. They're actually, they just look almost artistic. They have all different finishes and all different shapes, but the bottom line is that they are professionally need to be installed into the tub or into the wall. They're soldered in, and they are there to hold on to. And I do say to people, we often think of a grab bar as just something that should be in the shower. But I've placed grab bars in hallways in people's homes. You know, they come up to the top of the stairs, and now they have to walk down the hall to get to the bathroom. I've put them in right at the entrance to the bathroom. So if they have to park their walker, sometimes walkers do not fit through the bathroom door. They have to leave the walker outside. They park the walker, and then they grab onto that bar, which is right inside the doorway, and walk their way in. I've put grab bars next to a sink for someone who wants to stand there and perhaps do their grooming, hygiene, shave their face, brush their teeth, that type of thing. So there are a lot of things these days that people can get. They don't look institutional, because that's often the complaint I hear. Oh, I don't want my house to look like a hospital or a nursing home. It doesn't have to. It can look very nice. And there are grab bars that function as a double so that they are a towel holder plus a grab bar. So it doesn't even look like, you know, it's a grab bar.
And your book is really full of very easy to understand and helpful resources for readers, and you, because you have recommendations for the best home medical equipment, where to obtain services, additional helpful resources. You have an also valuable checklist that a reader can use to complete his or own home room by room walkthrough, and a very easy guide. And I did want to ask you one of the other helpful things you have in your book is that at the end of each chapter, you have hacks for health and home. And what are those, and what are they supposed to do to help you?
Well, you know, I think you've heard the word that's the big buzzword these days, hacks. And a hack is just something that you do to make something work a little easier. So I try to put a few, and as a matter of fact, my soap in a rope, soap in a stocking is a hack for health and home. So a couple of other ideas that you might, you know, not think of. For example, you can take the old-fashioned ironing board, if people still have those, and you can raise it to the height of the kitchen table and use it as a bridge to take items from the counter to the kitchen table. Sometimes if people have balance issues, they're carrying something hot, I suggest that as a fun little hack. Rubber jar openers, everybody has those, but they work for a lot of things. They work great for opening nail polish. A nail polish, you know how hard it is to get that open. A pill bottle. You put put a jar opener on a Walker tray and then put your hot cup of coffee on it, and it will help the coffee not to slide on the tray. Or you can put a jar opener on the edge of the tub and put your bar of soap there. So that's another hack for help.
Oh, great ideas. And Linda, finally, do you have a website or blog where our listeners can learn more about what you do and what's on your website and blog?
Okay. Well, first of all, my website is otherwisehealthy.com. And on my website, you will find links to many of my articles that I've written, how to buy the book. The book is available at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon and in most bookstores, but there's links on the website. And many of the hacks for health and home are on there, too. And then I have a Facebook page called The Organized Caregiver. And that page also has many of this information, several articles, and links to various tips to help somebody age in place.
That's occupational therapist Linda Schrager in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Age in Place, A Guide to Modifying, Organizing, and Decluttering Mom and Dad's Home. We'll have more conversation with Carol Marks and our next guest when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment. Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow talk radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the Internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past 3 years, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that features interviews with fascinating people from a variety of fields and walks of life. It's designed to be enjoyed by media freaks, pop culture aficionados, political junkies, and the philosophically curious. Recent guests include such interesting folks as former U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman, Richard Nixon's grandson Christopher Nixon Cox, Alex Jones, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Alan Stern, the principal investigator of NASA's New Horizons Pluto mission, radio broadcasters Sean Hannity, Mike Francesa, and Joe Piscopo, and legendary WWE ring announcer Lillian Garcia. How's that for variety? Each week, I interview outstanding personalities from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, science, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at Apple Podcasts or at the website mhinterview.com. The Michael Harrison Interview. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit Apple Podcasts or mhinterview.com. Make the Michael Harrison Interview a weekly podcast listening experience. This week on the Michael Harrison Interview, hear a conversation with former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer.
Don't do what I did and run out. If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop? Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you 4 extra packs of Nubbonubs. Free.
Nubbonub treats are freeze-dried beefy treats.
Made with no cereal fillers, chemical preservatives, or dyes.
Good for the tummy.
And yummy.
Nubbonub treats.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Continuing now with The Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here is the host and founder of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Thomas Moore. Thomas Moore is a New York Times best-selling author. He's written the book Care of the Soul, and he has many other books on deepening soul and cultivating a mature spiritual life. His latest book is titled Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy. Published by St. Martin's Press.
Who doesn't want an answer to the question why and how do we grow old and how can we learn to age well? I've just finished reading a helpful and beautifully written book, Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy. In it, the author, Thomas Moore, reveals a fresh and optimistic and rewarding path toward aging, one that need not be feared, but rather embraced and cherished. And we're delighted that the author of Ageless Soul is our guest today. Thomas Moore is a New York Times best-selling author of Care of the Soul, as well as many other books on cultivating a more mature spiritual life. At times, he's been a monk, a musician, a university professor, psychotherapist, and now a full-time author. Today, he lectures widely on creating a more soulful world and on spirituality. So, Thomas Moore, the warmest of welcomes to A Touch of Gray.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it very much.
Now, you've had so many careers, as I said, a monk for 13 years, a musician, a university professor, a psychotherapist, and now a full-time author about spiritual topics. And in your book, you discuss how our thoughts and experiences can influence the way we live and can enjoy life as we age. So how did your previous diverse occupations help influence you to become a psychotherapist and then a full-time author?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I don't think anyone has ever asked me that before.
Intrigued.
Yes. Well, actually, when you look at all these different things that I did, they all contribute to the work I'm doing now, each one of them. I still feel like I live the life of a monk, even though I have a wife and children. And I find myself speaking in churches all the time, all different sorts of churches, which is what I intended to do when I was a young man, when I wanted to become a Catholic priest. And then I studied music, and I know it's a little more difficult to understand this, but music, too, has had a big impact on me in terms of my work, because it has given me a sensitivity to the arts and to the beauty in life and how important it is to take time out to contemplate music as well as the other arts. So that fits in. And finally, my work as a psychotherapist is somewhat different. I mean, a lot of people come to me because they know that I will include their spiritual concerns in my work, that I have lived my whole life in relation to those questions, and then I will go deep. The soul is about depth. And so it's not just about managing life on the surface, but to really probe to see who you are and what stories you have lived and how all of this comes together to give you a sense of meaning.
Absolutely. And you have written many successful books, and your current book is all about aging and the importance of aging with soul. So why do you compare good aging to aging cheese and wine? How do they age in a way that we should try to copy? Never thought about it.
It's true that that was the first image that came to me when I contemplated the word age, and I thought, well, I hear that word discussed about wines, certain wines, not all wines age well, and cheeses, some cheeses are really good when they get older, at least, people can think that way. And you have to pay more for those because they are special. So I thought, well, that's a positive view of age, and I wonder if that applies to human beings. And of course it does, because as we go through the time of our lives, we're not just learning things, we are becoming something. And if we are open to life and to its invitations and are able to deal with, get through some of the setbacks and difficulties, then when we get older, we are aged like cheese is. We have flavor, we have value, and we are individual, very individual. And therefore, people want to be around us or need to be around us because we have something to give that we couldn't do when we were younger.
Yeah, I love that. And here's an important question. Can you tell us really what you think the word soul means and refers to? I know it's not a technical or scientific term. How would you define it?
Yes, it's a word that's been used for centuries. And it's a word that's trying to capture, and there's no good word, but it's trying to capture, as I said before, the depth of what it means to be a person and what the world is all about. It's also, there's a great deal of mystery in the world around us and in ourselves, who we are and how we come to be and the things we do. There's a great deal of mystery, and I think the idea of soul captures that mystery. And soul also has been associated with being able to connect with people. If you're a soulful person, you're able to connect, especially through your common humanity. I know today a lot of people want to find common ground, and it's very difficult to find. But I think we can find our common humanity, and that would be our soul.
Absolutely. And here's a question you must get frequently. What's the difference between our spirit and our soul, and isn't it important to nourish both?
Yes, it's very important to take care of both spirit and soul, but I find it's very helpful to distinguish them. So I'm not saying we should keep them apart or value one over the other, but they are different. So the spirit in us takes us not just religious spirit, but that the spirit as a quality of being, it takes us forward into the future. It raises us up. Usually the images for spirit are high, like steeples and tall buildings and rockets. Those are all images for spirit and trying to transcend where we are and move into the future, and images of afterlife and of divinity and all those things. They're beyond us, and that's very important to have that sense of what is beyond us and to keep pursuing that. But the soul is almost the opposite. It's everyday life, like it's the pleasure of being home and being with family and maybe being around in the area that you've grown up or that you've lived for a long time and you feel attached to it. The soul likes attachment and I think thrives on attachment. Spiritual people often talk about detachment, and that's important for spiritual life. But this other part of life is also extremely important, that we have our attachments and we love the people and the animals around us and the places and the familiar places that we know so well. That keeps a human and keeps your heart alive.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking some more about the soul and the transformative experiences we all have, whether some are, we hope all of them are positive, but some of them are negative, and they help our souls grow and blossom. So what benefits can come from actually being sad? When losing a loved one.
Well, it's so natural, isn't it, if you lose someone who's close to you. If you didn't feel anything, it would indicate that your feeling, your attachment wasn't very deep. It's just a natural thing that when you lose someone that has meant a lot to you, that you're going to feel sad. And there's nothing wrong in that. It's not a problem in itself. And how long you feel sad pretty much is up to the emotion itself and the relationship. I don't think it's a good idea to think that, well, now I should be over this sadness. Who knows? Sadness gets a hold of you, and the measure of your sadness might be the measure of your attachment to the person you've lost.
And how do you find out if you're just merely sad, but yet you're not depressed, and what can you do with this feeling of sad? Do you... need to get in contact with other people? How can you try to work yourself back into, your normal state of thinking and being?
Well, that's another very good question. I think that the difference between depression and sadness is very important to know. Depression is more a word that we use for a clinical situation, like almost a medical problem. You see the 10 signs of depression, but you don't see 10 signs of sadness, because sadness is natural. It's emotion that makes you human and expresses your humanity. If you want to feel that your sadness is not just holding you back and that it's weighing on you too much, I think a very good thing to do is to speak for your sadness. So someone asks you, well, how are you doing these days? And their question is a serious one. You tell them, you say, well, I've been sad. And you use the word sad. You don't say depressed. That's something else. You say, I'm sad. And you might tell the story of it and say, I lost this friend. And then you tell the story about your friend. And that kind of talking, where you are expressing quite honestly what you are feeling and going through, and finding language that really says what you're experiencing, that can be one of the most healing things.
And getting back to aging, and aging with soul, you have a lot of other useful suggestions in your book, and one of them that I particularly like is to grow older, tapping into your youthful spirit by continuing to be passionate and enthusiastic about life. And you talk about how being a mentor in the lives of young people, helping them to learn a new skill or get through life a little easier, but that can be a very rewarding thing as we get older.
Oh, yes. See, the thing is, we have to keep the youth and age both alive within ourselves. So keep our own youthfulness going. I always, when I say that, I always give the example of my father who died at 100. He was 100 going on maybe 52, I think. You know, I mean, he was very, very young in spirit. And he still did his job. He still had his hobby of stamp collecting, and he still drove his car, and, you know, and his diet was horrible. I mean, he did not eat well, but he lived to be 100, I think, on the sheer energy of his love of life. So I think that we can all do that. We can keep our youth alive within us. But that is sometimes difficult. So one way to do it is to be around young people, not just associate with old people, but pick up the spirit of the young person. And don't be too demanding. You know, like a lot of old people want to always correct young people, and that's not necessary. You could look and receive and see that spirit they have and take it into yourself and get it more into your own life by being around the young. And another aspect of this is that as you get older, as I was saying before, you've had all these experiences, so you do have a lot to give. You have more to give than you may realize. And so it's a good idea to be around young people who are in need of guidance, and you give them that guidance. And that gives meaning to your life, your age, because you have got to this point where you can help people, young people. And then your life is also meaningful because you are helping someone else. Service is one of the healthiest things you can do.
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that you say in your book, which is so well written, is the fact that we should, say how old we are, because in this country, so many people, don't want to say how old they are. It has to do with our fixation on youth. So I'm personally 82, but I feel blessed because I still have a youthful spirit full of adventure and creativity, along with both a positive and realistic attitude about some of my annoying chronic medical conditions that I have to make, some adjustments to. So do you think that there are any other things that we can do, and why is it important for us to acknowledge exactly how old we are?
Well, I think it's by the way, I'm 77, not too far behind you there. And I think it's important because you've got to start with where you are. I mean, you've got to—it's a sort of a Zen idea, that you want to be exactly where you are and express that who you are at this time in your life. You don't want to be starting with illusions or excuses or anything like that. And the simplest you can say how old you are, I think, the better. Now, I was speaking to a group of psychologists a few months ago, and at the beginning of the talk, I asked them to tell the person sitting next to them how old they were. And one of the psychologists afterwards, when I was discussing it with them, said, I said, well, how was it for you to tell them? And she said, I lied. And I thought, this is interesting that a psychologist would lie about her age, because I would think that people who are somewhat aware of what human life is all about and how to do it well know you have to be honest with who you are at the moment. And you don't want to start with a false identity, because you just keep going downhill with that and you never get back to just what you are. If you start with your own age, I think that gives you a taste of what it means to begin to express exactly what you're experiencing and where you are in life.
Best-selling author Thomas Moore, who's written the book Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy, published by St. Martin's Press. The interview was conducted by the host and founder of our program, Carol Marks. Coming up next, Meg McDonald with another installment of Meg. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching.
licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite. DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky. It's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE .com.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers. An analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now.
800-430-9466. 800-430-9466. 800-430-9466. 800-430-9466.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups on Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. In the background, you hear the musical intro to a song by Styx recorded in 1983 called Mr. Roboto. It was a precursor to the world we live in today, or at least entering in a big way, a world of artificial intelligence and a growing addiction to smartphones. Here to provide her unique perspective is Meg McDonald and the latest installment of Meg.
I recently got a new cell phone. It's so pretty and weighs so much less than my old one. Before my new phone arrived, I went online and watched videos about it. I wanted to know everything I could about this phone before I held it in my hand. I saturated myself with information. Reviewers raved about its capability and applauded the new bells and whistles. And of the 2 dozen videos I viewed, only one showed me how to make a phone call. The new phone has a different operating system, so I had a little learning curve. I also had a lot of fun. I knew the commands I was looking for, so it was just a matter of getting to know the terminology the new phone used. For example, to update incoming email on my old phone, it was called sync. On the new phone, it's called refresh. That's the beauty of this technology. The commands are the same, it's just the names that are different. Getting to know this phone was a combination of reading the online user's manual and seeing if I could figure stuff out myself. There's a special satisfaction you get coming up with the answer on your own. I did it. Now if I can just remember how I did it. One of the things I've always liked about high tech is the great camaraderie among users. We all have a willingness to help each other. It never occurs to us to be embarrassed to admit we don't know something or we're learning a new activity. I sent messages to friends saying, I'm learning how to text on my new phone. Thanks for letting me practice with you. And everyone replied with encouragement and support. I never could have set up the new phone without the help of my computer guy. And while he was here, I asked him why the cell phone that used to belong to my husband was still working. I canceled that phone number and closed the account when we became me. Yet it still turns on. I can't make a call or send a text, but the camera still works. All of the contacts are still there. I can send and receive email and go out on the web. How can this phone still be working? His answer so surprised me. I have to share it with you. He said, Meg, people are confused. What you're holding is not a cell phone. It's a computer, and the phone is an app.
Thank you, Meg. And actually, that's profound. Even though we all basically know that our phones are computers, the way she presented it really makes you stop and think that it really is just a handheld computer with a phone app on it. And that's why I guess everybody says, the phone isn't that good on these phones. All right. Meg can be heard at talkerslive.com. You can binge listen to Meg McDonald. Thank you, Dwayne Doobie Jr., our producer on the front line. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. Thanks to our affiliates. And on behalf of all of us here, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, inviting you to join us next weekend for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.